Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with episode 174 of the Ham Radio Podcast. Michael, please introduce yourself.
What's up, everyone? It's Michael here from Fudge Muppet.
Camo. Oh, I cut you off.
Oh.
Fuck.
Oh.
Keep going. You got a word to say.
Really? I told you it was going to be mayhem.
Everyone knows what Fudge Muppet's all about. That Elder Scrolls and Fallout builds and lore and all the good stuff. But let's get on to Camel. Camel, what's up?
It's exactly the same as Fudge Muppet. Just replace the channel name with Camel. That's pretty much it. Fallout and Elder Scrolls. It's my lifeblood.
Respectable. Anyway, we got a...
Can I just ask real quick, how come Michael's picture is of Scott as a child?
Okay, yeah. So I'm using Scott's Discord, right?
Right, okay.
Because I'm on his PC. I wanted this good mic, this Shure SM7B. All about the quality.
It's so good you couldn't get it to work for 30 minutes? Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
We got a silky golden episode for you guys today. It's all going to be about Fallout 76. We all went to the event in West Virginia to preview the title. We've all been making content on it. I highly recommend you check out Camel and Fudge Muppet for their content on the game. But we're just going to kind of kick our feet up and shoot the shit on this game because there was just... We all had like a different experience going through it. And I don't know where we even want to begin with this. That's kind of how we approach this. We're like, we're going to talk. So you guys got a topic in mind that you just want to kickstart this with?
General impressions of the game, I guess, because I actually didn't watch other people's content. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of just, like, slammed out 5 videos, and I'm like, I'm going to bed now.
Yeah.
I kind of assume that a lot of the creators will have very similar opinions, although that is just an assumption. So, like...
Have you watched anyone's stuff now?
I watched like a minute of Gopher's video. Like I really,
oh, dude, I've watched like 10 hours of stuff.
Nah, I kind of just like clicked through and like you kind of gauge people's opinion on it from Twitter as well. And like even the way they title their videos, you're like, you know, you can kind of guess. I feel like my opinion was like I had a whole bunch of fun, but I didn't make any huge calls. Because, like, I only played for 3 hours.
Yeah,
so I'm
for
like,
3 hours.
I don't really know if this is going to get old quick or if it's still going to be this fun after, like, 20, 30, 100 hours. But it was kind of that opinion where it was just like, surprise, it's not a role-playing game. it's an online game. But it's, I don't know, it's fun. And I really did actually, I do like the whole perks system. Not necessarily that you can switch it out, but the quantity and the uniqueness of the perks. Like, I don't know. I see good things coming.
Do you think it's good that the perk cards kind of randomized that you get from packs? That you can't select the exact perks you want at all?
Well, it makes my job a lot harder, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Builds become very difficult and like, you know, I love role playing. Like, I hands down would have rathered a single player RPG. I think everyone would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, however, I'm still going to give it a good go and have fun with it. I think from a statistical side, characters can be really fun, but I think most people will just run off one character, especially considering not only can you switch up your perk cards as you go, but you can change what you look like just because you feel like it, which I found really interesting. So we weren't actually
need to
console command. Like, sorry?
No, I was just saying it doesn't lock you in at all. Like, the character you build can easily change 100 hours from now.
It really can. The only thing, in the interviews I was asking about it, so you can level up your specials until level 50, And then at level 50, you can keep leveling. You can go past 50. It's just that's just to get perk cards and things like that. You won't be able to just keep going with the special points. But you can pretty much have a character that's like 9, 9, 7, 7, and so on. You can pretty much have a character that can do everything to an extent.
Yeah, the thing that I got a question about, and we were kind of hashing this out before the show, was the randomness of the perk cards, because someone was like, it looks like you can't just pick when you want to go down a certain route. Like, if I keep loading points into charisma, am I going to keep unlocking charisma-focused perk cards? And how do the packs work? And it's not like Fallout 4 where you keep loading the points into a special stat and then you unlock said perks. It's more so like that count, as it gets higher, you can slot more perk cards underneath that skill. So, or that stat, sorry. So I feel like what happens is each level you unlock like a new perk card for each special stat. But I think the menu just has a big issue trying to transfer that data to you so that you get that. Yeah. Because that was one of those systems, I don't know about you guys, because we're kind of playing, we have a short amount of time, we all have content plans in our head, but we also want to give the game a realistic shot of like, okay, can I see myself enjoying this far down the line? And this is one of those systems I was like, you know what, I'll dig deep into this when I actually have my hands on the game for a big chunk of time. Because this one, it was, a lot of the UI in general kind of like got cluttered, and there was so much like pop-up hints and things coming up on screen that, for me, that was one of my biggest issues. I was like, okay, I just need time to process all this.
I reckon I spent half my time like trying to figure out what was going on.
Especially with the like having a Bethesda team member as well, just like talking over everything at the same time and like explaining things that aren't popping up on screen.
Yeah, and there was also devs like walking around the room, so a lot of like people would walk up behind you and start talking to you. Like,
yeah, well, with headphones on too, I can't actually hear them. I did so many smile and nods; it's not funny, man.
You know what was weird was the like the audio through the headset had like a second delay, so I could see Michael talking and it wouldn't get his voice.
That was trippy. That happened to me with one of the devs. He was like, all right, we're going to go to this little camp here. And I see his mouth moving, and I hear it like a second later. It's fucking creepy.
So we got that going on. Got devs walking up like, how you going, man? I'm like, ooh. They're like, what's with your gameplay, man? It's so janky. And I'm like, yeah.
Dude, one of the things that happened was I was playing in, I was in like an amusement park, and I had run out of Radaway entirely. And so in this amusement park, it was filling my health bar with rads to the point where I literally had like a shred of HP, and Pete Hines walks up to me and he's like, he says to the dev who was helping me, he's like, why the hell is Maddie getting more rads than anything in this game? And then he has to like instruct me on how to use Radaway, even though I clearly knew how to. I was like, I sound like a dumbass at first, 'cause I was like, yeah, you know, I don't have any stim packs, because I was like, if I use the Radaway, I'm just going to have an empty health bar, and that's it. And I'm it's a waste at that point. It's just like, so he's like, well, you don't need stim packs to get rid of rads. I'm like, no, fuck, that's not what I meant.
So you were trying to get a mutation.
No, I was just, I was honestly just in that stage of the gameplay. It was like the final hour. I was like, if this was a real character, I'd be so fucked. Like, I had no stim packs. I had no Radaway. Yeah. I was absolutely screwed.
Oh man, would have looked like a noob. But you should have got a mutation. That I don't know how hard they are to get, right? But I'll tell you what happened with mine. I had a bit of radiation. Like, I just killed a bunch of like wild mongrels, and then I ran over to go back to my team, who was like far away. Ran through radiation puddles. Maybe not even a quarter of my health bar was irradiated. Not even a quarter.
Wow.
And then I just went to my menu because I was being shot at, and just spammed aid. Right, I didn't even look at what I pressed. I probably activated a bunch of chems, and I mean, you can only have one active at a time in 76, but I just used a bunch of stuff, ate a bunch of irradiated food, then it was a quarter irradiated, and it's like, you've got a mutation. And you just see the little vault boy walking with like a hand coming out of his chest, like all like mutated and everything. And yeah, it was that marsupial mutation.
Oh, you got which the cool basically one.
Yeah, based on a kangaroo. And then I believe it was Jeff Gardner told me, he's like, oh, that's really rare. Like, high-level players, like, do some, like, pretty dangerous events trying to get that and blah, blah, blah. And you can use it to go to parts of the game you're not really supposed to be able to go. Because it gives you jump height, you can jump pretty high with it. And it gives you -4 intelligence, too.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, it's -4 intelligence plus 20 carry weight, which is pretty much for the meme value of like, having a pouch, like a marsupial. Mm-hmm. But then increased jump height. So it was pretty useful. Like, I would jump on a cart and then jump on top of one of those greenhouse things in like two jumps. And yeah, you could just get away. If you're getting chased by ghouls, you'd just be like, oh, you just like fly onto a building.
How many jokes were cracked about the Australian having a marsupial focused mutation?
None at the time, because we were all Aussie. We just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't funny.
True.
We were all just Aussie. Yeah.
That's an American style joke, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you get a mutation, Manny?
No, that's the thing, dude. I had a disease. I had parasites. So my character was just getting hungry the whole time, and I was like, that's the other thing is while I had my rads filled, I could have just emptied up the rad bar and ate some food, but then I was just feeding the parasites. So like my character was screwed and I couldn't find a disease cure. Because I went to a high level area.
Disease? Was that radworms?
Radworms or?
That's what I had. I got a disease as well called radworms.
Might have been that. But it was like a form of parasite. Like I said, anytime I ate, it would go to that instead of to my character until I cured it. So, yeah, that's the thing is there's a lot that happens in the game that it doesn't explain. And then it spends a lot of time popping up hints on things you probably already knew about. Like the camp, they're like, scroll through the menu to select the objects you want to build with. I'm like, right. And then on the bottom, it has all the controls, and they're like, press RT to place. I'm like, it's right there. I got it.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think?
Yeah, I wish they had more like tutorial menus.
The camp, this is the thing. Like, I was never big on settlement building in Fallout 4 anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I did it a bit, but like, I don't mind the camp system. I like that you can also use the camp of someone that's in your team. Like, I just clicked on Camel's camp and started building shit.
Really?
And I like...
Wait, did they use your materials or mine?
I'm pretty sure mine.
Uh-huh. I actually just taken from you.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, no, the camp system's all right. It was like... I like that you can fast travel to it as well. Like, that's kind of like... I would just abuse it for that if I wasn't really settlement building. I just drop it in some really cool place that doesn't have like a marker.
I feel like you should drop it like as far away from Vault 76 as possible, because you can travel to your camp for free and Vault 76, right?
Smart.
So if you have like two locations spread out across the map, that'd be the best option.
I believe so. I mean, look, after 3 hours, there's so much info that's like kind of hazy as well. Like, I was told things by devs that just aren't on record anywhere except a dev told me, like, at a celebration. It's just like, oh, yeah, someone told me this. You know,
the casino chats.
You get a few of those so valuable. And they start telling you. It's not even interesting stuff, though. It's like, it's like, do this 17 machete modifications. Like, not exactly harboring secret information.
Nah. There was the interview segment. That was kind of like the one thing that was hard to get the info out on. For me, like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was like they didn't allow the audio or something like that. So
right.
We have to like deliver it from ourselves and directly quote them. So like one of the things I got from there was I had heard that I didn't ask this question, but that the game was like roughly 40 hours long in the terms of just like getting through the main story. Yeah. But then like they kind of took it back and said, hey, well, we're unsure just because, like it can go a number of ways based off how much like side content you get involved in, which I get, there's a lot happening in the world. So I imagine that this could be a 60 hour playthrough. It could be 100 hours. It really depends, but I don't think you can just straight shoot the story because I imagine it'll take you to some of the later game zones, which I had gone to early, and as I alluded to with my rad struggles, I got absolutely fucked. So, you know, I think 100%. It's one of those things where you got to level up to... It's going to level gate you. So I'd imagine, around 40 hours sounds about right.
That's kind of weird, because I actually asked that question, because for those who don't know who are watching, the Americans were like separated from the Australians and stuff, like on different days. But
there was at the Greenbrier event, there was two phases. It was Australians and Europeans.
Yeah.
Then we left, and then you guys were at the airport when we got to the DC airport.
Oh, I'm so cut that I didn't see you at the airport.
Oh,
Maddie.
My God, bro.
I ran onto the bus. Michael's like, where were you? I'm like, Matt's like 10 meters away. He's like, fuck, we got to get on the bus now. I love how you guys are.
I'm already sitting like on the bus with my bag there, and I'm just like, dude, run outside. Fucking
God. That's the thing. I didn't have my notifications on my Twitter, so yeah. I checked my Twitter just like a minute afterwards. I'm like, oh, fuck me. I was like, now I got to fly to Australia.
But yeah, what was I saying? I was building to something here. I asked that question.
You asked the same question I did about the quest.
And I drilled for specifics and stuff, and I was told that the main game, not including side quests, he's like, the main story is about 40 hours. And I was like, yeah. He goes, yeah, it's about the same as Fallout 4. And I'm like, so you'd ballpark Fallout 4's main story for 40 hours. And they were like, yeah, roughly give or take. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then they said on top of that, oh, but there's so many side quests as well. And this is a specific thing. And the Overseer's story diverges off into a separate story as well. And so on. So I was just, yeah, I know everyone's getting like slightly, slightly different info from the same people.
Okay. So. Yeah, we go. That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I asked him, actually. I was like, hey, why did you guys decide to, after Fallout 4, where, like, you know, the game obviously sold stupidly well, but there was a lot of people saying, like, hey, can we go back to the roots here a little bit, focus more on role-playing, single-player shit? I was like, why did you guys, especially after Far Harbor, which tried to highlight, like, hey, we can do role-playing things, what was the decision behind going the complete opposite direction and saying, like, we're doubling down here? And I remember they told me, I think they said pretty much that while they were making Fallout 4, we had heard this previously, that, like, oh, there was a multiplayer mode we were doing for that game that we had scrapped and decided to do a full game on, and they pretty much wanted to make a Fallout 4 multiplayer game before they moved on to Fallout 5. So that's why they're doing this. And I was like, you know, What alternate dimension does a Bethesda Game Studios in like Dimension 5 decide to go, let's make Fallout 5 a single player RPG and go back to the roots like it was requested, right? It's amazing that they did that. Even with that answer, I was still a little puzzled by the decision.
For sure. And yeah, I do feel though, like, they wouldn't have had the time to make like a single player yet. I could be wrong. Mm. I could be wrong, but like, it is awfully convenient not having NPCs and like all these, like, well, I guess they have voice actors for holotapes and stuff, but
some of them are really
not having to set up not having to set up conversations and stuff, and using the same kind of system as Fallout 4. Like, I don't think we'd get a Fallout 5 or a Fallout New Orleans or whatever for ages.
Very true.
For ages.
It would have taken a lot longer. That's right. Yeah,
but I'm happy to wait.
Yeah, that too. You know, because we actually, I was just reading a Eurogamer interview, and Pete Hines had like directly answered like when Starfield and shit was coming out. Like he said it's pretty much the same window of time that it would take for any BGS game. So I'm sitting here thinking like, oh my god, like we're waiting until 2021 for Starfield. You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So. Dude, it's landing perfect. I made a prediction video about Elder Scrolls 6's release date being 2024. 2027.
What?
Landing exactly on track.
I'm gonna come out here with, this is pure intuition and it makes no sense whatsoever. I have a feeling that we are gonna see Elder Scrolls 6 before 2022 or in it. I don't think it'll, I know you can map it out and be like, no, it'll take them so much longer, but
I mean I hope you're right, man. I really hope I'm right too,
but like you can quote me on it. And I know it's not based on anything, so I'm not taking it that seriously. But
yeah,
I have a feeling we could get ES6 in 2022. And I actually think we'll get Starfield before 2021 as well. big call based on nothing, just vibing it. 100% just vibing it. We'll see what happens.
Problem with game, like games getting better and better and bigger and bigger and like better graphics and all that stuff is that it takes more and more people more and more time to make a new game.
Mm-hmm.
So although like BGS's staff size is increasing crazily, so does the manpower.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing I never pieced together. I'm like, oh, they're getting bigger, but then like I never thought of the other side. Like, hey, these games cost more. There's just so much more to them that, especially because Starfield's probably gonna have multiplayer. You know, so even though they're like it's a single player game, like so many of the trademarks that were used to unearth the game itself, literally have like multiplayer stuff. No, you're good.
Really?
Yeah. So
wasn't it's just in an interview that he's like, it's distinctively single player or some shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to be wrong, because I mean, some people were like, "Oh, they're just trademarking the ideas." It doesn't mean they're exactly doing it. And I'm like, okay, that's fair enough, but like, there's still the potential there, and they're doing a fully Fallout or fully online Fallout game. So it's like, I'm not going to dismiss the idea that Starfield's just going to be entirely single player, especially when I'm sure Fallout's going to make a lot of money. So they're probably not going to want to turn away from that, right? Much like Michael, kind of shooting from the hip on a hunch here.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's all you can do, because at the end of the day, I don't really take what Bethesda says like that seriously, because they've lied before, and I'm just like, I'm just like, okay. Like, you've seen that video on YouTube with Todd, and it's like, tell me lies.
Yeah.
It's like Zarek's anthem.
Sweet little lies. Like, you know, I mean, you take it mostly seriously, but you never know.
You don't want to put all your eggs in one basket and be like, this is the fact, like, it's happening.
Yeah, I'm always just
like...
It's
also like their plans change, I guess. Like, if they say something 3 years ago that conflicts with what they're doing now, people are like, they lied. It's like, dude, they probably totally changed their mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Different idea.
Yeah, I mean, that type of stuff's unavoidable. Back to Fallout. What did you guys think? Because we talked a little bit about holotapes and stuff. Did you discover any interesting ones? Because I found like one about the Beast of Grafton, and it was kind of like an old radio show. And these were like 5 minute long holotapes. Like it was like a long.
I don't think I found any holotapes. I kept finding notes, and at the time I was like, oh, I'm just gonna have it on screen for a second and not read it, and read it later. You know, right. To make the most of the 3 hours I had, rather than sitting there for 3 minutes reading like 20 different bits of paper.
Oh, yeah. Dude, 100%. That's why I didn't upload my 3 hours of gameplay. You don't know how neurotic it looked. Like, I ran up to terminals and I just pressed A on every single entry and then B and, like, just got off it really quick. Like, just cleared through so much shit
I
could read it afterwards.
Like two play sessions or something.
Yeah, like, and one
by
section,
the end of the first one, I felt like I'd just gotten grips with, like, how everything works.
Yeah.
Right.
So, dude, it's so spastic footage.
But I found some decent holotapes. I also found, which is fine, a lot of, like, miscellaneous ones where it's just like, haha, here's, like, a little kid talking about being sorry for, like, I don't know, feeding some mutated creature. That's not what it was, but it was just something that wasn't important, but it just still added character to the location and stuff like that. So that's nice. And I like how they gave you side quests. Like, I would just pick up a note in a house, read it, and then get a quest for it to go and, like, unravel whatever that is. And it felt really rich in, like, lore. I just hope that that same density is spread out over the whole map and not just kind of where I went at the start.
What quests did you guys bump into? Because I found a couple of interesting ones. That was, like, the most, kind of moment for me I bumped into like a haunted set of cabins, which is like
right by the that. That looks sick.
Yeah, that was really cool, and that wasn't even.
I saw that in your footage.
Oh, so you didn't even go to that place yourself?
No.
Oh wow! All right, yeah. So that was cool. That wasn't even a quest. It was just like a side area. But like I saw someone else, like, cause you know how like during the event, for those listening who obviously weren't there, like it was split up into two play sessions. Like a first wave would go in early in the morning, and then a second wave would go in kind of in the afternoon. So when the first wave went in, me, Oxhorn, and Juice had all walked in, and we were just watching people play the whole time.
They wouldn't let us do that.
Really?
Yeah, we could. Yeah, we couldn't do that.
Security guard on the door.
Oh wow. I don't know if it's because we just kind of walked in. I mean, cause there was like one guy from the Greenbrier staying there, and we just kind of like gestured like, hey, we're going to go in. He kind of like opened his hand and was like, yeah, come on in. I was like, okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, it's not like I got anything crazy from it. I just, all I saw was A, like really bad frame rate, and I got nervous. I was like, oh, fuck, like this doesn't look good at all. And the other thing I got was I saw this quest that looked really interesting. It was pretty much this guy had to wear like army clothes and do like a patriotic training test of some kind. I didn't want to spoil it for myself, so I didn't watch much, but I was like, wow, off of sheer concept, this looks amazing. So
Michael and I found an obstacle course. I don't know if there was a quest related to it. There was like a legit obstacle course. Like there was a bunch of logs you had to run across, and there was like little platforms hanging from trees you had to jump across. It was really high up.
Was it a quest?
It was full up in the trees. Like you had to jump from platform to platform.
I get it when people who are watching our footage say it looks empty in terms of like NPCs and stuff.
100%, yeah.
But in terms of like exploration and like environmental storytelling, it's pretty rich. I found it to be quite rich. Like every 30 seconds you run across something. Dude, what is this thing doing?
Yeah, they definitely went crazy with
that much, man. We didn't see much. Like I look at when I clicked through Gopher's video that I kind of briefly saw his impressions on the game. Mm-hmm. It's like this mad open landscape of like dirt and stuff like that, and like a big really cool stuff.
I probably watched about 10 people's gameplay videos, and all of them have something totally different.
We just killed Kate over and over again.
Yeah, I really regret doing that. Like the last hour is just like a massive PvP brawl, killing Bethesda's men. But I noticed something. A guy called Adam in our play session, he just ran across the map, and at one point there was like 6 vertebirds flying around shooting things. And ooh, I was really? Like, who was in the vertebird, man?
Vertebirds
flying around.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong here, because I don't know the Fallout lore like my own history. Would that be feasible at this point in the timeline? Yes, right.
I don't think so.
No? Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't think most things, like super mutants.
It didn't sound right, but I assumed I'm wrong.
Brotherhood of Steel aren't.
I know, Brotherhood of Steel at this point was over in Cali.
That's a call that I'm not going to make on the podcast.
Yeah, because here's the thing: we're going off the cuff.
I already know it's not.
No, but like, maybe it's not, but they always find these little cheapskate rationalizations to like make it make
sense.
That's
the other thing. Like, would you prefer to have fun in a game, or like have it match the lore and have a bunch of?
I think there's a way to find a
both
even ground.
I don't think you need to sacrifice lore to have fun. Yeah. I think
no, you don't.
Yeah, I think they put themselves in a bad spot by what they picked on the timeline to set the game. But I also understand why they did that, for having no NPCs and having it be like.
See, my thing would be like, just ditch these factions and make new shit, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. Forget the Brotherhood, dude. Give us some. Dude,
the Brotherhood's in like every game. I love the Brotherhood.
Every like 3 minutes, I would run across a corpse, like a fresh corpse, which really, it gives the illusion that the world's full of people when it's not, because there's lots of like freshly dead bodies. But there was like, I ran into a dude who was from the cult of the Mothman.
Oh, nice.
There was another body. I can't remember who they were. It was some like clear faction, and they're like praising some nuclear tree as their god. But I'm like, dude, they've created all of these cool factions, but they're all dead. Like, they're all dead. I don't know. Do you reckon they could put NPCs in with no problem?
I don't know enough about game development, but, like, my guess has always been that down the line, like, you know, this is, I 100% believe this is going to be a game that, like, a year from now, year and a half from now, people are going to be talking about, like, this is the game it finally needed to be. They'll add NPCs that you can talk to. Because I imagine if you're adding robots that you can interact with.
Well, we've got robots we can talk to. Someone ran into a traveling super mutant merchant that you could talk to.
Really? Okay. See, I didn't know that.
I haven't seen that. That's
cool.
Well,
I don't know. It was a merchant walking around with a Brahmin, like a merchant's Brahmin. And every time they tried to talk to him, it just said the merchant's busy, and he would nod his head. So I don't know if you can actually talk to him.
I just thought about something with the vertebrate, because I was kind of looking it up. And like, mm-hmm. you remember in the opening scene, sorry, I'm going to take this off track, but remember in the opening scene of Fallout 4, there was like a vertebrate that flew overhead.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm reading the wiki and they said there's like a prototype that was in development at that point. So I guess Bethesda is saying that 25 years later, it's, you know, kind of like in the mix now. People can fly vertebirds. I know.
Yeah, but my thing is like, who's in the vertebirds?
Yeah, that's the thing too.
Maybe
with no factions or scorched living people.
Yeah, I was about to say the scorched because they're even though they're like kind of stupid, like they can still shoot guns and I mean, who knows? Just hop in and fly it around. Crazy luck. Hard to tell.
Is it you or Juice that found a dead raider?
Raider or?
Yeah. Raider. Someone found a dead raider.
I found a former raider camp. No, because I'm trying to remember because I remember one of the other things I got when I was watching a session, not playing, was I saw someone look at a Brotherhood corpse. And that's when my eyebrow raised. I was like, why is the Brotherhood here? Why are we finding like fresh bodies of the fucking Brotherhood in West Virginia at this point in the timeline, you know? But I don't remember seeing a raider. I mean, I almost said a bandit.
I mean, dude, if you're running into Brotherhood people, a raider is less surprising.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I imagine that would be the case. It's just
they've created a lot of cool NPCs and a lot of cool factions. And they're all dead.
Yep.
They're all dead people.
Yep. It just gives you the thirst to want to like interact with them more. Maybe that's part of the game plan. 6 months from now, we've added a new area with some NPCs that you can all chat with.
All right. So they said they're going to update the game forever. It's like...
all right.
Forever.
Forever? That's a long time, man.
Are we going to want to play for a long time? That's the big question that we all want to talk about. Sure. You guys... walking away from that, are you like, yeah, I'm playing that a fuck ton? Or are you kind of like...
I'll probably play it a fuck ton, but forever? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not asking for an answer on forever. I'm talking about, like, do you see yourself, you know, kind of going the distance like any other BGS game? Like, I imagine...
I don't know. I like the finality of a normal BGS game.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wrap my head around, like, making guides and content on the game. When it's constantly getting updated, it's like, fuck. Like, there's no end in sight kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Like with ESO. Although
that's kind of good from a content perspective because there's constantly fresh stuff to talk about.
Well, how much ESO content?
Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, like, same thing. A couple ESO. But look, I can imagine myself playing this game for a while, but I think the main thing is like I have to see everything. I have to walk every square meter of the map, see all the locations, find all the stuff. And because it's meant to be four times as big as the Fallout 4 map, that's going to take me a while anyway.
The other thing that makes me nervous is, like, if they update it, they patch it and just remove a bunch of stuff. It's like, well, a boo. Or you make your guide, so your guides are...
Imagine if they just fucked with perk cards. Like, imagine you have perk cards, and then they just, like, make it 10%, like, weaker or stronger.
Yeah, like,
or
you make your build, and they change the...
No. Oh, that's true, yeah. They could tweak... Yeah, fuck. I didn't think of that. I mean, I know there's going to be, like, timed perk cards, apparently. They talked about, like, events and stuff. They're like, sometimes events will give you, like, a perk card that you can only get during that point in time. So I'm, like, thinking to myself, imagine if there's, like, a really good perk card that comes out during Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas. Yeah. And we're just sitting here like, fuck, if someone missed that, they're screwed.
Yeah, pretty much, hey.
I mean,
interesting.
Back to the questing thing. Did you guys find the way you got quests? It felt pretty natural.
Yeah.
Most of the, like, even... I went to Greenbriar, and I instantly just got a quest to kill 30 Ruli Gula golfers or goofy stuff.
Oh. Actually, I did get a few weird ones like that, where I wasn't really sure why I got it, but then others I found to be really smooth.
Yeah, most of the time, you don't have to do something to get a quest. It just, you just get it. Like, you walk into...
I went into
a theme park and I instantly got a quest to find Jangles, the moon monkey who'd been lost in the...
Oh.
Yeah.
I never...
Did you guys do any events? I did an event.
I did one.
Yeah.
Another one we did where Kate built like 400 turrets.
No. You guys didn't do it. This was when I was getting frustrated because I was playing with you guys and then I realized you'd all just been standing in some shed for like 15 minutes and I'm like, stuff this, man. I want to see some stuff. So I ran off. and I found this like dingy rundown like motel area, and I basically just had to like kill a bunch of Protectrons that had gone nuts and then reprogram them to like be friendly again in like this greenhouse area. It was like all the gardener robots had gone haywire.
But was that an event?
Yeah, it had like a 30-minute timer on it as well.
Wow. Mine was I like arrived at a did you guys see any of the like outposts you could claim and then like build as a group?
Yeah, that's what we did.
The workshops. Yeah,
public workshops, I think they were called. We that's what we did. We claimed it, and then a bunch of Protectrons came in waves to like stop us, and it was kind of mundane. Like it really wasn't anything special.
We had that.
Something terribly wrong with the AI, the enemy AI.
It wasn't good, yeah.
I was watching. I didn't really, like, I kind of noticed, I was like, have they put this on, like, a really easy server mode or something for us? But, man, one of the girls who were with Grace, I was watching her gameplay footage. She walked into a building. There was, like, seven hostile Mr. Handys. She was in there for, like, 2 minutes, just, like, pointing a gun at them and walking up to them.
Yeah.
And they were just standing still. They didn't attack her. They didn't even notice she was there. They were just there. She was shooting them. They were doing nothing. Then a ghoul came in, and the ghoul and the Mr. Handy started fighting. And I'm like, she's been in there for 3 minutes, and they haven't touched her. And they're all red on the map. They're all got, like, red nameplates and stuff.
Yeah. I noticed that with the Scorched. I went to, like, some type of treehouse area, and, like, the Scorched was looking at me, and we were in, like, a firefight. But usually, even in Fallout 4, they'll, like, run for cover and, like, hide behind something, but their head will, like, conveniently poke out for you to snipe it. But, like, the Scorch just stand there, and they're like, it just stand in place and just fucking shoot at you. And I'm like, wow, target practice, fun, you know? Like, it was very...
I don't get, because the systems already worked in Fallout 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that never happened with Raiders, where I'm like, what's this guy doing? He's just standing there.
Yeah.
I guess the thing to remember, well, two things. First, you shooting at the camera, someone needs to make into a GIF. And secondly, I mean, I didn't have that many problems with the AI, but I will say we should just remember, like, this is pre-beta. Like, this is, like, a pre-beta build 100%. Of the game. I mean, that's what they said to us. They were like, remember, guys, it's going to run smoother. This is what they said. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah,
it literally comes out. This game releases in a month.
Yeah, like, this is what loops back to, like, how much do we want to believe, right? Like, I'm not calling them a bunch of liars, but... like when they were like, oh guys, it'll be better at launch, it's like, okay, but checks watch, it's you got a month, and like the game is dropping frames everywhere, and the AI is not working. It's like, I'm not saying what can you get done in a month, but can this be fixed in a month, you know? That's the shit that I was a little like about.
I'm not 100% like like tech savvy in, like, I'm not really adept with tech, but well, I assumed the frame rate drops was because we were recording all the time.
We were using those, what are they called? Ninja flame capture devices. They're totally external. They have no impact.
Yeah. What it was apparently for them, I don't know if they told you guys, this might have been during my interview period, but I could be wrong. They said that pretty much what they had done was optimize the area around Vault 76 to run well.
No, I learned that from your videos. They didn't say that to us.
Okay, they didn't. Yeah, they said the area around Vault 76 was supposed to run well, and then as you got further, the frames would drop more because, you know, they didn't expect people to go there, which...
Oh, that's dumb.
I'm pretty sure... Yeah, which I was a little surprised by, but also I think if you go back to my gameplay, I don't have it completely burned into my memory at this point, but even though I fucking edited with it so much, I'm pretty sure, like, the frames drop early on as I started exploring. Like, it happened good one or two times where I was like, okay, if this area is, I put this in quotes, optimized, I mean, it really started dropping when you got further. I remember Juicehead telling me he got to this one part called, like, the top of the world or something like that, and he was like, yeah.
I was
like,
trying to finish a cool quest.
Yeah, and he was like, it was at, like, 15 frames a second. And I don't know if it was in his gameplay or not. I'm sure, Camel, you would know.
I watched it. It was like on.
Yeah, and so...
I think it was going down to like 8 FPS.
Yeah, like that's not good. I mean, because that's the thing is they said they're optimizing for 30 FPS. Like, they're not, they're...
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're trying to run it at 30 FPS. I don't know about PCs. I think PC, like, yeah, you can expect 60, but console...
Well, dude, I can't believe they were running out of 4K on an Xbox One.
That was a dangerous move.
Yeah, 100%.
Dude, I've got, my graphics card is like 3 times the cost of Xbox One, and I wouldn't run it 4K on it.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't trust it.
Yeah,
I can't believe they did.
Yeah,
like, you want to make the best impression possible, as if you wouldn't get some high-end PCs.
Isn't that the whole Microsoft thing? Isn't that why?
Yeah, but still, like, bro, if my game looks sick in 4K and runs smoothly, then...
I had seen...
crumble on an Xbox.
Larry Herb there, the guy, Major Nelson from Xbox. Like, I had seen him there, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine some...
What,
of the,
at the
some,
Greenbrier thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he showed up on, like, the day we were playing. Like, he came in. I don't think he was playing. I think it was, like, for some type of business thing, because I was eating lunch at that point, so I'm just, like, chilling at the table... What the fuck was I eating? Pasta or something like that? And like, I just see him walk in. I hear the voice. Like, I knew it instantly. And he was talking with Pete. And they just kind of went off. So I was like, all right, I guess. And then, then I see on the other side of the room the couch with the Vault Tech promotions. And you see the Microsoft promo. And then you see the Xbox development kits in the room where we're playing the game. I was like, oh, it all makes sense now.
Yeah.
did you play the Blades build they had there?
I did.
It was fucking short.
Yeah, dude.
That shit. I was like, the one they had at E3 was like at least 5 times longer.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was yeah, literally the tech demo from the Apple thing. Yeah. It was like
I ran through a hallway, then ran outside, and a dragon landed, and I was like,
Was that game even coming out? I thought for sure that was coming out before Fallout. I was like, oh, they're going to release it like early October, and then Fallout's going to have its thing.
So apart from playing Fallout 76, the whole purpose, like my purpose of existence, was to ask Australia's community manager when Blaze was releasing every 30 minutes. Dude, I would
the
work
whole trip.
Stuff, like,
the whole trip.
When
we just
signing
opened a fortune cookie. And that we'd be like, oh, what does it say? And Camel's like, it says, when is the release date of Blades? The whole
but like
time.
when we signed out of the Greenbrier, I'm like, oh no, she said there was an issue with the card payment, so I put it on mine. He's like freaking out. I'm like, yeah, on the receipt, yeah. Oh, she just said she needs the Blades release date. He was like, just anything. I would work anything. He's like, anyone seen the pizza on the menu? I'm like, yeah, it's on the pasta, just under Blades release date. Like, dude, on the airplane, like I was gonna pay one of the air hostesses to wake him up and ask him when the Blades release date was.
Yeah, you should have done that. I would have flicked $5 for that easily.
So, yeah. I've tried. I've asked literally 4,000 times, and they will not give me a release date. So I don't know.
You tried.
When does Fall end? When does that end? December?
There's very okay. There's like. In America, there's the people who, you know, approach it by a feel, and there are people who are like, okay, this is objectively, factually when this season ends. I would not know the factual. In my head, once December hits, fall's over. But I know that I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Because right now it's spring. As soon as December comes, spring's over.
That's how I view it. I'd have to double check, but...
But anyway, they said it's coming out in fall in America. So it's got to be soon, man. Like, I thought they would release it as far away as possible from 76 so they don't have a clashing game.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're going to be, like, on the same day.
Maybe it will actually be late November and you'll get surprised.
But they also said there was going to be
a little landing pad for 76 flops. We got Blades. It's all right.
At E3, Todd said there was going to be a beta.
Oh, yeah.
Word about nothing.
Was it closed though? Wasn't it like a thing you signed up for?
I think you had to just pre-order it or like say you were going to download it on the phone. You would get an option anyway.
How do you find Blades like control wise? Because that was the first time I played it actually at the Greenbrier.
Oh, okay.
I felt it really strange.
The Greenbrier build was better than A3.
Yeah, I found that. I got used to the combat because that was the third time I played it. I played it at E3, I played it at QuakeCon, and I played it there. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like a feel like you press, hold, swipe, release, and like you got into kind of a flow with it. So I was, except it doesn't feel like you're actually cutting with your sword. I literally felt like I was fucking backhanding someone with like the end of my blade each time. Like I was fucking smacking them around.
Yeah, again, I feel like you need like 20 minutes to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Fallout 76, I feel like we needed way longer than we got. Get a grip on it and be like,
you gotta wonder,
I know how the game works now. Now I can play it and walk around and show people cool stuff rather than me just like, yeah, how do I use this? Where's the menus? That's where most of my footage is me confused.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is whenever I'm adding gameplay to my videos now, I'm always like, okay, I got to edit around, Maddie trying to figure things out. I used in a video, I did like little things I found in the game, like just tiny little details. And one of them was, I was talking about, how the Pip-Boy can like project, so you don't have like the Pip-Boy in your face.
Yeah, the Quick Boy.
Yeah, the Quick Boy.
Yeah,
that's what they called it. And like in the video, you see me just like bring up the Pip-Boy, then like shoot out the projection, bring up the Pip-Boy, and shoot out the projection, and it looks perfect in the video. But I specifically remember that part. I just started my recording. I was like clicking buttons, like what the fuck am I doing right now? I was completely fucking lost.
Wow, because that was the first thing they all told us. They all told us how to turn that on.
Yeah,
they were like, "Yeah, you guys are going to want to use the Quick Boy. This is how you put it on."
It's way better.
I actually really like it. I have a feeling I'm going to be using it the whole time.
Especially for an online game, you want to be able to see what's going on.
Yeah, and it did save me. I saw a bunch of ghouls running right at me, only because I could see through my Pip Boy. And then I was like, "Shit, close it. Use marsupial mutation to jump on a building, then go back." To my Pip Boy,
it helped me because Juice had ran up to me and started like initiating a PvP. So that's when I went like minimized it and shot back. So in a way, yeah, it worked out in my advantage too. It's definitely a good addition. I like how they finally, unintentionally, I guess, I'd always wanted in Fallout 4 for them to have the world still running when you bring up your Pip Boy. It doesn't pause the game; like everything keeps happening. I really wanted that, so that's one change that came in 76 that I doubt, like, it just kind of comes with the fact that it's an online game, they can't pause everything around you, but I love how you can finally, like, bring up the Pip-Boy and the world is around you still happening. Huge fan of that.
Yeah, it's good, and it's another weird thing was VATS in real time. What do you think?
I don't like VATS.
Tell me about VATS in real time.
I don't like it? I don't like
VATS. Tell me about it.
Did you guys like VATS? No, I want to hear from you guys because you seem a little.
Okay, I don't know about you. I liked it, but it was like
because I used VATS a fair bit. Like I got concentrated fire like straight away,
same.
So I could target limbs and stuff like that. So I believe you can't target limbs until you get that perk. But I found it really shit at first. However, because I used it constantly, I ended up liking it. Obviously, I would prefer Fallout 4. So I think if you look like New Vegas and Fallout 3, it just stops time completely, which is really cool. But like, you can just kind of be a god, sit there, think forever, and just use it to do whatever you want.
Right.
In Fallout 4, I like the fact that it still feels like VATS because it slows time, but then also that the chances,
like
the percentage chance to hit does change as like an enemy runs behind cover or in slow-mo or something like that. In real time, it was really strange, but I'm happy it's there than not there at all. Like I did like that they included it. And after I got used to it, I liked it. But yeah, I'd prefer the slow-mo, but you can't have the slow-mo in, in an online game. It's really OP too. For PvP, ridiculous.
That's how I took out Juice. So didn't aim at all. Just VATS shot him a couple of times, had a hunting rifle, and he was dead.
Yeah. Like
VATS is really good for guns.
Did the same thing.
I was struggling to aim on the Xbox.
Yeah, me too. That's why I started using VATS, man.
Also, I don't know, because there are perks. There are perks that increase accuracy when you aim. Point being, like, is when you shoot a gun, is it literally where you're pointing, or is there like an RNG element?
It's not where you're pointing. So like, if you you mean normally? I was talking VATS. In VATS,
no,
VATS, it just kind of goes sideways. It's all based on the percentage chance to hit.
Because I was doing stuff where I'm like pointing at someone's chest and I would shoot and it wouldn't hit them. And I'm like, what the?
That was
serious?
In my, from what I gauged when I was playing the game, that was like latency, like lag. Your bullets actually, weren't, like what you'd say in a Call of Duty match, like, oh, my bullets aren't registering. Like, you'd shoot and it just wouldn't hit them. You know, right. that happened to me so often. I highlighted in a video where I was like, here are things I need to improve. And I showed like a handful of clips where like you see me just point and aiming at this character well within my range, shoot, and nothing happens. You know, like just complete miss. Even though the right on target, you see the bullet go straight at the target, it just doesn't register, and it's because it's an online game.
And I guess I got lucky in that respect. Like, I didn't really have any issues with that. Mine was just my actual aim on the Xbox controller. I was like, stuff this, man.
A lot of people had that issue. A lot of people had that. You know, for me, I was like, I usually play with an Xbox controller on Fallout games, so I was kind of like at home. I was totally comfortable with that, but a lot of people were like, I need my keyboard and mouse.
Question. Did you use a critical hit?
Yes.
Oh, I never actually did. I didn't even know that was still there.
Actually, I went through my footage and I didn't use it, but like I went into VATS and it made like the critical hit noise thing when you click the button.
Wait, so you did use it?
I actually don't. Like, I know it's there. I don't know if I used it, but it's definitely.
Okay, so I'll explain what happened with me, which is it's in retrospect. I know exactly where it is. Stupid.
I'll see if I can find.
But like, pretty much, I was playing a VATS character. I even had luck. And I'd filled out my critical meter, but because VAT's real time is so quick and it's just, you're in it and then it's over, I never noticed that it was there. Like, it was there. It's like, press Y to execute, and it's like, the bar is full. And I never pressed Y, and I'm just kicking myself because I want to see what it looks like. I assume, because it's an online game, it's just going to shoot out a normal shot that does more damage, because it's not going to do some cinematic follow the bullet, like slow-mo cinematic thing because it's online, but I wonder how much accuracy it has, because if you remember in Fallout 4, critical hit, you could have like 1% chance to hit, and you're like, you're still gonna get it because it's a crit. You just unleash that.
Okay,
shit.
I didn't use it. I just filled the bar up and it made like the you have
yes,
full critical
that's,
bar
that's
noise
the problem. I want to know what it looks like.
I
so
had
bad.
No idea it was even in the game, to tell you the truth. Like, not a clue.
I just wanna
what do you
want
to know if it does like the kill cam or what
that and I assume it doesn't, but I just want to know. And it I wouldn't. Also want to know how accurate it is, because then imagine in PvP it's like it's if it has 100% accuracy like it more or less did in Fallout 4, you could just see someone heaps far away with a 1% chance to hit their head, click critical hit, and they'll just die. Like, that's what I want to know. How
well, they would have to already be in combat with you.
Yeah, say they were. Say they were. Okay. And you just, like, but you're far away from them.
Do you
them,
think, like,
and
maybe
just...
at the very least they change the camera angle? They don't have to slow-mo it, but they, like, say it's an execute shot, you get the kill shot on him. Do you think, like, maybe they show, like, the view from a different perspective? I'm just guessing, because I can't, like, how do you differentiate between the execute?
Is there any games that do that? Wouldn't that be really rough on your eye?
I thought of one.
Cameras flying away from your character and stuff, you'd be like, jeez.
I thought of one game, and I don't know how they did it to this day. Max Payne 3. I love the multiplayer in that game, and you know how in Max Payne, I don't know if you guys have played it, how you can, like, slow-mo dive?
Like, I actually haven't.
Okay.
Haven't played it.
All right. In that game, you're able to slow-mo dive. And in the multiplayer, they still have that, where if, like, people are in your cone of vision, you can still slow down time. Now, obviously, I don't think that's a work like that, but I imagine, like...
That work?
I have no idea how they did it to this day, but it worked well. Like, it didn't break the game. It didn't slow down time for people outside of the radius of this cone. But for those who were in the cone, it was like a perfect slow motion dive. You know, you're shooting your pistol. It was epic. It was so, so epic. But I don't know if Fallout could do something like that, where, like, okay, this guy's in my vision cone. I'm using VATS on him. I pressed execute. Therefore, like, here's like an angle from behind him of his head just getting blown off or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe execute bypasses. Like, you know how, like, when they first die, they go down to one knee and then they can get revived and you can finish them off right there. I mean, what if execute just bypasses that and they just outright die? There's also that. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, I had some pretty fun times killing people who were downed in the most patient way.
Well, let's hear it. What exactly did you do?
Oh, like I just walk over slowly, I just like pull out my gun, kind of maybe do it mode.
That shit talking.
You know Jason Levy? You know Jason Levy?
He was the dad who helped me. Yeah.
I realized that I was in PvP with him for ages. Like I didn't know who it was. And I just, if you go, I didn't upload my gameplay, but I just kept killing him so much. Just over and over. And some woman came up to me and she's like, "Are you Fudge Muppet?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Okay." And I just look over at like another bunch of chairs where he's playing.
Jason's
and like,
crying.
We had beef. He came, got revenge. And then, but the thing was, he had like a hunting rifle or a shotgun or something, but I just had VATS and a pistol and it was so OP. Like if he ran up to me and missed his first shot, I'd put VATS on him and just spammed click, 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 click. And then he'd just die. It was all at close range. I can't imagine what it's like at far range when you're good at VATS. Like imagine if you have 10 perception, really high agility, and you're doing PvP from like with a good gun from far away, it'll just change the game. In this, we were all just running at each other really close.
Well, maybe if PvP had like any importance. Like it doesn't really have an importance. It's such a minor.
You waste a lot of resources, like your ammo and stuff.
Yeah, but there's no like nothing happens when you.
I wasted
no
so many stim packs during it.
Yeah, stim packs, ammo. Oh, you get caps and stuff.
Yeah,
I got like five fighting.
I'd found out that there's like apparently a mode in this game called Hunter Hunted. Like I was reading a PC Gamer article, and if you like turn on this radio station, and if anyone else has it on, like you'll be assigned an assassination target, and someone like it'll be a round robin type of deathmatch. So,
oh, cool.
Like let's say us three have it on. Like it would tell me to kill Camel, it would tell Camel to kill Michael, and Michael to kill me, and like that's how it would work. And we'd all be like tracking each other through the map. So. And apparently, it rewards you more than.
I have to initiate PvP with you first.
No, if you're listening to Hunter Hunted, apparently it throws you in where like you're.
So it's like a PvP mode.
It's literally a PvP mode where you can just completely fight without having to like request like, "Hey, slap someone in the face. You want to fucking fight?" Like you know.
So they do have that. Because in my video where I was like, simple changes they can make to make it better was like a PvP always mode, so people who wanted to do that could do it.
The issue is. That the servers, you don't pick, like, for example, a server where people are playing PvP. The game throws you in a random server. So it's like, you can turn on Hunter Hunted, but there's like, what, 30 or 24 people, I don't remember, in a server. So what's going to happen is, let's say no one in that server is playing, and then you're fucked. It's like,
yeah.
I think they should just phase you to a different server.
That's a good idea.
I like this idea. Do you know why? Because I actually asked during the roundtable interviews, a lot of questions on stealth. I was so confused as to how stealth is going to work as a mechanic in PvP, how it will know when the damage multipliers should be applied, like, and how you can even, because you can't just sneak up on someone and kill them because they have to like agree to PvP. So you kind of like sneak up on them and then run off into the bush and shoot them from far away. But what you're saying about this hunt mode, right?
It would allow that.
You can just start in stealth because they've agreed to be in PvP via a radio station from far away.
Yeah.
Now that sounds like stealth PvP will work properly.
Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people were asking me was about the stealth modifiers and how it would work in PvP. And I was like, well, how does that work if you got to like actively be like, "Hey, please fight me," you know, like instead of sneaking up on them. So yeah, this is kind of the workaround, which is why I don't know when Bethesda was initially explaining PvP. They didn't like put this mode on the map and be like, "Well, we got this. Like, this is the because they have the good anti-griefing systems in place, which is great. And then there are going to be people who want to do PvP and like they could say, "We have this for you too." And if anything, it would detract people from wanting to like ruin others' experiences, right? Because
they need a big old dot point of shit in this game because that's a pretty important thing. And I'm finding about it off you.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, exactly. I played the game. I went to an event with the devs for like 3 days. God, I should have more information than anyone.
Right?
I don't even know about this.
But that's the thing that happened with this event. Everyone went in every different direction. Some people got interviews with like Pete Hines and other members of Bethesda exclusively. And then there's us who got like the roundtable stuff that we couldn't really do a whole lot with. So there's just like everyone's got different bits of information, and I think a lot of people assume like, oh, this is common info because everyone else was at the event, right? They should have known too. I got some questions from my Patreon Discord that we could kind of go over.
Yeah, sure.
One of them is Toft, who said, how hard was it to find ammo, and did you use the ammo vending machines?
It was hard to find out.
Kind
of hard. I would say it was hard to find it. Like, I run across it kind of frequently, but you'd get, like, four bullets.
Right.
And then you run into a mole rat, and you burn all four bullets. You're like, I didn't use a vending machine, but I did use a tinkerer's workbench, I think it's called.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different workbenches to do different tasks, and for ammunition, you need a tinkerer's workbench. Yeah. But I ended up, I had materials to make, like, 70 bullets. So that was...
I never had an issue with ammo. It was stims and rads.
You just had better aim, dude. I didn't use stimpak. I didn't use a single stimpak.
That's crazy to me, dude. That's the thing. I think it's just something with when I start off a Fallout game, I'm just reckless as shit. Because in Fallout 4, I'm not afraid to admit, like, I struggled early on. Like, the first 10 hours were kind of tough on me, and then like I hit a groove and I had a ton of shit, and I was like, all right, this is just such an easy game now. But like, it's that beginning part that always gets me. And the same thing was happening here. Like, I guarantee with Fallout 76, you ask me now, I was like, yeah, game was pretty tough early on. You ask me like 50-100 hours from now, I'm going to be like, yeah, that game's a breeze.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same. Like, I didn't get enough time to really make a call on and get a feel for like how much ammo there is. Mm-hmm. But I do think if you're managed, like, it is a game of resource management to a decent extent. So like, if you are scrapping everything, which you should, because junk weighs a lot. And if you just constantly break it down into resources, then that's better for your inventory management. Right. But like, you can craft ammo, but yeah, I didn't even really need to craft ammo. I found enough. However, sometimes I did run out. So like, one tip I would say, and this is just for like beginning the game, even if you're not planning on being a melee character, pick up a machete, just have something, because there was a time where I had a pistol with no bullets and then had to resort to using my fists until I found a machete.
Yeah.
And I know, actually, this is just a side note, like, Rob Whittaker was there with us. Thesda flew him over. He's like a UFC world champion. And fittingly, he went all into strength. Like, he just pumped everything into strength and just went around killing everything with melee, right? Like, just killing everything. He got to, like, level 9 when we were all, like, level 5 and stuff. And he could just one-shot everyone heaps easy in PvP because he had, like, 9 strength or, like, 10. Mm. Like, he just got really... really souped out. So if you want to do that, like, you can get pretty strong at melee pretty quick, but I think you'll get punished later.
Early on,
you can't shoot.
Early on melee, I think, is good, because I don't know about you guys, but all I have was bolt action shit, and there were just some times that I'd miss one shot and be like, I'm fucked and need to take out my golf club. So yeah, for me, I used a lot of melee just because.
Where'd you get a golf club from?
I think I got it at those cabins. I think that's where I found it. Because the second I got it, I was like, yes, because every time like I'd swing, you'd come in low like you were driving and just like tee off on their kneecaps.
That's awesome.
Yeah, right.
Camel and I stayed in some haunted cabins, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, where'd you stay, Maddie? Where'd you stay?
We stayed in the Greenbrier itself.
Ah, okay. We got cabins, man, outside.
I heard those were creepy. Bethesda stayed in those.
This guy called Matt in our group was just horrified of ghosts. Like, before we even got to West Virginia, he's just, like, reading all the ghost stories and freaking himself out. When we get there, we're like, oh, where are you staying? His cabin was in the middle of the woods by itself.
I was with him. I was with him. New shot.
That's terrifying,
bro. He legit got a haunted cabin.
He just decided, he's like, look, I'm scared of ghosts, but if I drink a bit, it'll just be funny. And he said there was a horny ghost that touched him when he slept on the bus.
He said he woke, kept waking up.
He's not even kidding.
Something was touching his ass.
Someone came and like would like slap him on the butt. And I swear it wasn't me. So I don't know who it was. He thinks it was a ghost. But those cabins were...
I stayed in the... I know where I stayed. It was in like the Greenbrier itself. It was like an actual hotel room.
What floor was it?
The fifth?
It wasn't 6606 like someone in our group.
No. It was fifth floor. I thought I liked it. I didn't get any haunted vibes from that. I get where people were coming from. Like, someone said it was Jovenshire, I was talking to him in the morning afterwards. He was like, yeah, I was like brushing my teeth and I just saw someone like walk by in my mirror. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. Like, I was like, at first I was like, well, that's not supposed to happen. I was like, whatever. I was like, that's, he was in a room by himself. I was like, that's fucking creepy.
Yeah. 100%.
I feel like that's how I'd react. Like at one point I turn around and my door was just closing very, very.
Is that the thing you got on video?
Yeah. And then I screamed at the end.
That scared the shit out of me. I meant to yell at you about that. I was like, fuck you.
Every kid was like, fuck you, man. I shit myself. The door was just closed. It was open for like 5 minutes, and then it just started. It took like a minute to close.
Yeah, there was some pretty weird stuff.
And I was like, I can either just like let it close, or I can make something of this and scream as soon as it closes and scare the shit out of anyone that watches it.
Glad I watched it on mute.
I fucking jumped, bro. Yeah, I fucking jumped. I was like,
Psh.
Oh, I was like, you know what? I don't want to watch too much of this stuff because this is before I went. I was like, I don't need to get creeped out before I head into this place. I'm just going to go in blind. If it's haunted, I'll find out while I'm there. You know? And so fortunately, yeah. I had a pretty solid experience. That was good. But yeah, fortunately, I was in the good part of the resort, maybe. What else do we got here? Big Boss wants to know, what do you predict for post-launch content?
I don't think Bethesda.
They don't know. They wouldn't tell us anything.
I think you asked Michael, and they were like, "We want to do as much as we can."
It was Ziggy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't me, but yeah. they basically just said we
don't have like a ground like a plan. We're gonna stick to. We're just gonna do as much as we can.
Wow. Okay.
And we are going to aggressively patch as much as possible.
Yeah.
I remember that quote.
Wow, that's convincing.
Yeah.
We were told. Someone had asked, "What, like, they do in the terms of DLC? You know, would they add new areas?" And they had pretty much alluded to the fact that they hadn't even considered that, and that would be very tough for them to do, where they're unsure if it would happen. And that's where I was like, "Oh fuck!" I was like, "God damn!"
Yeah, you know? That's weird.
How do you not add new areas but keep adding content? It's gonna get full.
That's what I was thinking too. I mean, the thing with Fallout 4 is I thought like, okay, this game's a little dense where at times where like, okay, if they did like what they did with Vault, I think it's 88, where they added the Vault Tech Workshop DLC, I was like, okay, this is kind of in the base game itself, it works. I was always suggesting like maybe make a Commonwealth quest pack, which had like 30 new quests just to kind of fill out the world, but like, yeah, this world feels like every 10 steps you're finding a new location, that there's something there, where it's like if they were to add on to it, not that it would be too much, but like you said, Camel, it can get like cluttered, where I feel like they, to expand on the game, you know, they'd need to do a new location.
But it's, I like, found 76 a lot busier than Fallout 4.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, it's really dense. It is. I only know what I saw. But like the devs were telling us, like they did the run, like one of the guys did the run from Vault 76 and like just out in a certain direction. Then he would turn like just 3 degrees, do the run again, see what felt bare and boring. Like he's done the run out like hundreds of times, just following slightly different deviations of the same path, just to make sure that they have enough stuff to keep it fresh. So yeah, it's pretty packed. I don't know, like,
the haunted cabins right next to Vault 76. I'm like,
I just go straight, that's the thing. You literally go straight and they're right there. That's crazy. Because I thought everyone would have bumped into that. But
we kind of followed the dev.
Oh.
They took us to Deathclaw Island. Did you go there?
No, I'd heard about that though. That sounded cool. I didn't know.
That was the one place I used to stimp.
Dude, there was there's this little hope inside of me. It's like 100%, like 99.999% not, but there's this little hope inside of me that it's an Easter egg to a video we made for Fallout 4 called Deathclaw Island, because it went kind of okay. Like Kotaku made an article on it. Like it got some decent social media attention. We basically used the Wasteland Workshop DLC in Fallout 4 and just like covered what's called Spectacle Island in like 10 different types of death claws, and we had like little feeding things for them and like gunners to eat and Milurks and stuff.
Wow.
And it got a decent amount of attention. And then they're like, we're going to take you to a place called Deathclaw Island. And I look back through my footage. This was before Drew was a part of the channel. And there's these two dead skeletons placed next to each other as well. And like a little duffel bag and stuff. And like, wow, obviously Deathclaws are on Deathclaw Island. And I'm just like, is this a reference? It's probably not. It's probably not.
I'd say you can lower that percentage from like 90.999 or whatever the hell you said to 75%.
100%.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a chance.
Dude, claim it.
Yeah, I'll claim it.
We had all the level designers there. You could have asked.
I was gonna make a video on it, but I just feel like it would be really self-aggrandizing. Now, shut up, man. It's not a reference to your video.
Yeah, I get that.
They just made a Deathclaw Island.
I feel so like from the outside looking in, it sounds like it, especially because Bethesda's like, remember that whole thing with Far Harbor where they pretty much copied a quest from a mod from, I think, Autumn Leaves or whatever?
Yeah.
And I put it in there. Like, I think they pay attention and sometimes will say this in quotes, take inspiration.
Yeah, 100%.
I wouldn't be surprised, especially the two skeletons. That, to me, that's like, yeah, that's
they're crazy. Like these two skeletons laying down in a duffel bag. All I want to do is open the duffel bag and it just says like fudge treats as like a consumable. And I'll just be like, that's it.
You put some thought into this. Yeah, fudge treats, that works.
Like, I don't know, like,
or a note
or a recipe to make it, anything. Or even if I don't know what it is. There was also this holotape, this environment soil sensor on the island. It was like this little machine.
Yeah, I kept running into those.
I clicked it. Yeah, it just said it's soil busy collecting data. I couldn't do anything with it. But I just wonder what the deal is there. I'm actually asking Bethesda staff now who are like going to find out for me, because I just got to know. Because if I get confirmation, then I will make the video and be like,
Is it actually called Deathclaw Island, or is it like... Yep.
It's a location, like you can fast
travel. It's literally called Deathclaw Island, and our video is just Deathclaw Island in caps. Like,
you're onto something, I think. That's got to...
I think I'm being hopeful.
I'm excited for you. Yeah, don't let me be your hype man here. But I'm feeling...
You're the hype man. You're the master hype man.
don't let me take you away here. Other question we got. Last one I have written down was from Grimblade. He wanted to know some specific balance details like stealth, which we had talked about, damage output and armor effectiveness, as well as perk cards. So we kind of covered the perk cards and the stealth. Did you guys feel your damage output and armor effectiveness was good? And I don't know. I wanted to ask you guys this too.
I have no idea.
I think in Fallout 4, like if you had leather armor, you'd have higher like energy resistance, but like lower bullet resistance, if I remember correctly.
Honestly, I
didn't even think about it.
I put on anything. I was wearing a beer hat and like a mini skirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think about it.
I didn't get to thoroughly test the...
What is weird is that you can put like outfits over the armor. So like I had the vault suit on, then I had leather armor over the vault suit, then I had a policeman outfit, like full on hat and the clothes over the top of that. And it actually, I mean, obviously... modifies your aesthetic so that you can't tell that you're wearing anything underneath. Like the vault suit, for example, didn't show through where my calves were exposed. Like you could just see bare calf skin because of the police outfit. But then underneath that statistically is a vault suit and leather armor. So
it's like it's in the Elder Scrolls Online, you can get costumes.
Right.
That just totally change your...
That's exactly what it is. It's cosmetics that just are like a skin over what your actual armor and ratings are, which is good, I think. Yeah. I'm totally cool with that, because it's like...
I'm cool with PvP, because you can't... It makes it tough for PvP, because you think you're going up to someone who's, like, not heavily armed. Mm. Nah, man, I've got power armor on under here.
Yeah, because I got a Park Ranger outfit, which I thought was really badass for the longest time. I was like, man, I must look so cool, and then I zoom out and see I'm wearing these fucking baggy shorts. That I literally thought were like fucking like nice slick pants, and I got a amusement park outfit, which was like a big red striped dress, pretty much.
I saw you walking around like a bathrobe.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Yeah,
you looked like you worked at some burger joint, like had an apron on or something.
I found it at some Boy Scout camp.
That's
weird. It was like on a table. It was on a table next to like a comic book, some binoculars, a note, and then there was the outfit. And I was like, oh, all right.
Them Boy Scouts, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I like that, though. I thought that was a good addition to the game. Yeah, it's something I wanted with Fallout 4, because Fallout 4 had some like really cool full sets of armor, like the Mechanist armor. But then it's like what I was wearing layered-wise was so much better that I just never touch some of the stuff that they added to the game.
Mm. Or even like Kellogg's outfit. Like you could just wear that, but you couldn't wear anything under it or over it. It was just its own thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do those outfits add anything, though, or do they just kind of go over?
I believe that's they just go over. I didn't check. I don't think it's going to be like plus one endurance or plus one charisma like it was before.
Yeah,
but I
don't think I got an outfit. I can't check.
It's just clothing. It's not like some special outfit. It'd just be like whatever.
I just want to know if like one would be statistically better than the other. I doubt it though, because I imagine these outfits are going to be like the source of the cosmetic microtransaction thing. You know,
Oh, dude, some dude, because one of my gripes was you couldn't change the color of the Pip-Boy light.
You can't. So it's always green?
Green. Some dude was like, I bet they're going to sell it.
Oh, no.
They're going to sell different colors.
Wait.
How'd you even think about that, man?
Wait, in the creation club.
I'm running around at nighttime and everything's green because of my light.
Wait, in the creation club, wasn't there like, for Fallout 4, like a pack of like, different Vault Boy, or not Vault Boy, Pit Boy skins?
Was probably, yeah.
Probably.
I think they were. Oh, shit. You might be very right.
Yeah.
You might be a scary amount of right there. You can't even go to the settings and, like, because what I did in New Vegas was I didn't like the orange and I changed it to green. So I couldn't even do that.
I don't care about the screen color. It's when you turn the light on, like at nighttime. So you light it up and everything's just lime green. Ugh.
Oh, you don't like even that. Like okay. See, I don't know. I always like that, but I get why someone wouldn't. What would you normally use?
Well, you know, I'm trying to get footage for YouTube, and everything is green.
Boo. I've always just used the green light.
Same. Oh.
Boo.
Yeah.
What do you change to? I'm guessing white?
White, yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, if you're making... Well, actually, never mind. About to say something really stupid about Fallout 76, because I was thinking Fallout 4. I was like, why don't you just wait till daytime? I was like, yeah. Oh, fuck, you can't do that. So.
Well, I mean, it comes around every 3 minutes, so...
That makes sleeping weird. Hey, did you sleep?
I didn't even know you could sleep.
You can sleep. That's one of the first things I did. I woke up in the vault, like, back in bed. I was just sleeping there.
Great use of press time.
What happened? Yeah, I know. Was it real-time sleeping or what?
Well, I guess it must be. Like, I just laid in bed, and then I think you can get, like, a buff if you... lay in bed long enough. Like one of the loading screens says, beware of getting diseases from sleeping on dirty mattresses.
What?
Yeah, 100%.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like if you were out in the wilderness and you found some heaps dirty bedroll and you slept in it, I think there'd be a chance that you can get a disease. Because there's not sleep as like a bar. Like, you know how you can get thirsty or hungry. There's not like a sleep deprivation.
No,
I think they said there were buffs if you slept long enough. The same way if you play an instrument, you get a little
just
buff.
I was about to say, yeah, because I remember I sat down for a piano and they're like, if you do this long enough, you'll receive a special buff. And I'm like, I sat there for like 30 seconds waiting for something to happen and it never happened. I was like, all right, I'm wasting time. And I like got up and walked away.
I played the guitar.
We got the well-strung buff, which is, I believe, off the top of my head, was like plus 20 AP regen or something like that.
So it's like
it's decent.
Useful, yeah.
It's decent.
How long does it last?
An hour.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's like a decent
it's
amount.
It's all right.
So yeah, if you want to take any day to get a buff for an hour.
Yeah. I think you should get a different one from playing the piano. Like, I didn't play the piano either. But I know with the guitar I played, it was called like the well-strung buff. So like, there's probably different instruments can do different things.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
That makes sense.
Just a guess.
I imagine you're correct. Yeah. I mean, I feel like a piano buff would do. I can't believe
that's
we're
something
talking
we should
about
note
this.
As well.
Yeah, I know.
If you find a bobblehead or a magazine, it gives you a temporary buff.
Bobblehead's temporary.
Not a permanent.
Really?
That's so depressing.
Yeah, Juice said in Juicehead's video, he found a bobblehead. It said, like, you gain blah, blah for an hour.
Was it, like, an endurance one, or, for example?
I can't remember.
Well, like, was it one for the special stats, rather?
I'm not sure. I honestly don't. I just remember, like, dude, I watched so much stuff. I can't remember.
That's actually.
I just remember that it was not.
Hmm. Yeah. Imagine if you could find the same bobblehead, like, over and over. Like, oh, it's the endurance bobblehead again. I'm going to get this buff. Like, that feels a bit weird.
I feel like their locations would be static, right?
But why if it's temporary? Like, oh, I got an hour buff. Like, that's kind of, I don't know. It just seems kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Well, if it was the other way, the first thing every character would do is go and find all the bobblehead.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I feel like there wasn't a way for them to win in terms of bobblehead. Mm. The magazines.
I'm out of questions, personally. You guys got anything you want to tack on for lay discussion?
I'm not sure. It's so much. It's so, my brain's overloaded. It's like, ugh.
It is really overwhelming. And the other thing, because it's an online game, is, like, when it does drop and we all start, like, playing it, we're all going to be finding different stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can't, for example, with mutations, like, that's just random. That's completely random. Yeah. So, like, any videos on that will just be, like, who found what? And, like, you can't go and show someone how to get it.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting, but, like, it's also completely luck-based at times. It's like, oh, you... Like he said to you, like, he's like, oh, that's a really lucky one. And it's like, I bet there's a bunch of those. I remember when I was looting, I'd find, like, building plans for just, like, I found a barn building set just in a briefcase behind a bookshelf. And I was like, oh, cool. And, you know, I asked them during my interview session, I was like, is that, like, placed there? They're like, oh, they're mostly random. Some of them are, like, quest rewards. I'm like, okay, so let's say, like, if you had, like, a really cool settlement idea and someone saw it and they're like, hey, where'd you get that barn building set? I'd be like, oh, you just find it. You know, like, there's no direction to the world. It's just kind of there.
You can find blueprints and sell them to other players, right? So you can get duplicates of the same blueprint you already have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember Emma was saying, like, yeah, they're not soulbound, like, but bound to your character. Trade them with others.
That's good.
Same as switching perk cards. I think that's a pretty interesting mechanic for the charisma stat. Like, one of the devs playing with us shared an intelligence perk card with the whole group. And, like, it didn't matter if you didn't have enough intelligence. Like, for example, my character's intelligence was 1, but I had 2 intelligence perk cards active. My one that I put in there and the shared one. So it was weird.
Yeah, I watched one of the developers for Bethesda share, like, a lockpicking skill. So, like, people were going around lockpicking stuff even though their characters weren't, like, built for it.
Right.
So, like, I think that's going to be the most fun way to play the game is, like, when you're in a group is being the charisma guy because it feels like there's, like, a genuine purpose there. Like, you're filling the gap in on someone else's character build. But then, like, everyone else, I'm curious to see how different those become. Like, a strength build versus someone who wants to use guns. How different will those be?
The good thing about with Fudge Muppet is, like, we're going to have 3 of us playing together, and we already know, like, Scott's going, like, all charisma intelligence dumping. I'm just going to go, like, strength basically for fun because seeing what, like, Rob did with it just looked so fun to just, like, hype up the strength. Then we'll probably get Drew on, like, a stealthy guns kind of vibe going on. But if say, like, Scott finds perk cards, he'll be able to share a ton. Like, the charisma guy seems, like, really useful. Yeah. Really useful. And I think intelligence will be quite useful, but it's just not the same seeing as it doesn't change the leveling speed. Like, I always used to just go, like, high intelligence in New Vegas. And just, like, even if I wanted to be offensive, I'd always pick those passive skills and, like, get up the medicine and repair and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just... So many points to allocate in this.
Oh, the days.
It's weird. Yeah, the days. The days. I know.
Can't wait till like 40.
Yeah.
Get back on this. Do you guys realize that, like, with those windows with, like, ES6 and Starfield, that if ES6 were to come out in 2024, like, think of when you played Skyrim, what you were doing. Like, what were you guys doing when you played Skyrim? How old were you?
I was playing Skyrim.
All right, that's
got him.
Fuck me. He got me so bad.
Fuck, man.
I remember I was watching people on YouTube making Skyrim content, and I was like, dude, I could do that.
Yeah, me too. Me too, man. Yeah. I when I was playing Skyrim, I just remember getting hyped. Like, I was in high school, man. Like, I was Same. Young. Like, I'm only... I don't know how old you are, Maddie, but, like, I'm only 22.
23.
Yeah. Like, Camel's a dinosaur.
You young...
So
I wish Carrick was here so I could feel young. So.
Yeah. But, like, I remember, like, I was just... Even before the release, I'd just be at the park with Scott, like these two fat kids just talking about like what character we're going to make. Like, I already was planning builds in 2011 for what I was going to do. And I'm like, I didn't end up following my plan. I just kind of made something completely different the All second right. I got in the race menu. But yeah, that was ages ago, man.
And then think of ages like ago. Where you're going to be when ESX drops. Like, we're easily going to be in our 30s. We played in fucking high school.
I don't want to be, but look, we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's the day I'm waiting for. Like, that is something mm-hmm. I'm just so stupidly excited for more than anything else. Like, Elder Scrolls 6 will be a godsend.
And it led to an amazing video where you guys duked it out a little bit. Had a little cameo.
Yeah.
I'm still getting sand out of my fucking head for that.
Dude, our feet were just like covered in like we didn't show it on camera, obviously, but like just covered in like cuts and we were all bleeding and like.
Yeah, you guys really put it on the line. Some of the moves I saw, I was like, holy shit.
The funny thing was, you really can't get a sense of verticality unless you're there in person. But like that hill that we rolled down doesn't look that deep. It was deep, man. Like, it's like. It was like rolling down a vertical at a skate park. Like, it was proper deep. Like, you just, it, like running up, it was hard, for example. Like, the sand would slip and you'd have to kind of like not step too hard to not cave the sand in on the way to the top of it.
Dude, in the video,
the camera just can't pick that up.
But in the video, it's like, oh, they're rolling on some sand. In real life, we're like, it's like this fucking pyramid of sand. It took like 4 minutes to get up there. And that, at the end, when Drew jumps off that cliff...
That was high.
That was
high.
Like a 7-story building, and in the video it looks flat.
7-story
See, now with this info, I gotta go back and watch again and see, like... Because I thought, like, it looked pretty steep, like some of the death-defying fucking leaps you guys made into each other.
I don't know. If you ever come out to Australia, we'll show you. And you can like, oh.
It's a plan. If I'm ever looking to, you know, face some fears, take on some mythical creatures out there...
Dude, there's nothing. There's some loud birds.
Yeah, Gopher was so scared of Australia, hey. Gopher was so
We're
much
trying
fun.
To convince Gopher to come over, and he was just horrified.
Not like in a bad way, but I pissed him off because it's something I got from martial arts. Like, whenever I'm talking to someone older than me, no offense to Gopher when I say that, I'll always say, sir. Always. And so I say, how you doing, sir? And then I said something else with sir, and he's like, can you stop calling me sir? Like, he got visibly irritated with me. He's like, you're making me feel old. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, my bad. Because I also bumped into him. I saw everyone except Michael.
Oh, really?
Man. Yeah. All because I went to the bathroom and took a slightly different route to everyone else.
Yeah. Because I figured if you were there that you would have been with Camel. I was like, all right, like, I guess he's not here or something. And I'm like, you're like, run to the bus. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, so devastating. You gotta come to Australia, man.
Airport, and I'm like, who the fuck are all these people in my way? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's the Americans who are gonna jump on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so happy I could get you in the
What I learned was small planes aren't fun.
And then Oxhorn rocks up looking like some 20s detective.
I love him.
With this like long gray trench coat on and like a bowler hat.
He looks like a G. I love him.
That's the way he speaks. I really wanted to meet everyone, man. When's it gonna happen? We gotta set this up.
E3 is a definite. You know, E3 is always the guarantee, but I'll have to make the trip sooner.
E3 is such an effort.
Yeah, I know.
Like the biggest flight. Although I will say, after flying home from West Virginia, I think I've leveled up my like flight patience. Like, we had to fly all in one trip. West Virginia to DC, then we got on another plane from DC to Cali, Then we went from LAX back to Australia, and it was like no.
And then some people had to go from Sydney to their cities.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It was proper. It was proper like a day of flying. It was messed up.
One of the people from Adelaide, like from the Greenbrier to her house, was 38 hours.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of back to travel, straight travel. Yeah.
Dude, that's the thing. It's not like we were there long. We had two nights there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I remember when I texted you, Cam. I was like, hey, what'd you think of the game? You were like, bro, I'm still flying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, you fucking what?
You're like, dude, tell me how the game is. I'm like, bro, I haven't even landed yet.
Yeah.
Because that might have been my internal timer. I thought like I messaged you a couple of days beforehand. I was like, all right, he's there. You know, he's got his feet wet with the game. You were like, you know, I'm still flying. I was like, oh, fuck me.
Because you guys went in 2 days after us, and we got home at the same time.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
When we got back to our houses, you Americans got back to your houses. Like, that's how long it...
Wow. Okay.
So it was something like that. Like, it was pretty nuts.
That's wild.
And then in Australia, get this. So we get home, it's the morning, and like, we're on shit sleep. We had another Bethesda event thing that night to go see Venom in Gold Class. So we all, Camel ditched it. He fell asleep.
I didn't know. Like I, it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I was like, I need to have a nap for 2 hours, set an alarm for four and then woke up 14 hours or something.
Holy crap.
Just a million messages from Michael like, dude, you dogged us. You fucking ditched.
We had a heaps fun time, man. You should have come.
That was a fun movie.
Like, it wasn't a decision not to go. I was just dead.
It was like a shit movie, but like I legitimately had fun just watching it and like just enjoying the stupidity of it.
Dude, like, I totally agree. There were the scene where he gets like the elevator scene, not to spoil it for anybody, but that shit was classic right there. I thought that was fucking hilarious. And I also liked some of the acting was so bad it was amazing. It reminded me of Spider-Man 3. I was like, this is so bad, it's great. It's such
like
a
the main
movie.
Villain as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I could talk about that movie all day.
Yeah, 100%. I don't even remember the elevator scene you're talking about, but don't remind me.
Okay, yeah. All right,
dude, that's how tired I was, man. Like I forgot
I'm surprised he didn't fall asleep in the theater. Dead serious.
I know.
It's a good time. Anyway, that's about all we've got. Any last thoughts or are we wrapping this up?
I don't know. I suppose for anyone curious about the game, I would definitely say wait till more stuff comes out for you.
Yeah,
100%. Just to make any big decision.
Because even we're not being like, bribed.
I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, we've got 3 hours to play it. So much mayhem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I said. Like I said, my walkaway impressions were like, I enjoyed what I played, but I got some concerns on how much I'm going to enjoy it when I get my hands on it. And like, ultimately, you just take a wait and see approach for it. If you're like, if you're on the fence, but you're a big Fallout fan, which I think a lot of us are in that position, you know, obviously us as content creators, we're going to try to inform you guys. But like, if you are just gaming, then this is something you just definitely want to like hold back on and just wait and see.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's why I didn't watch anyone's first impressions video. We all thought the same thing. I'm like, I just know everyone's going to have the same conclusion, or pretty much, with like slight
It wasn't
variation.
So much the opinions that were interesting. It was more like things they noticed in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like with Adam's thing where he saw like four vertebrates coming down. Some other dude ran into a super mutant. Like, just stuff like that.
Yeah, I got to go check all that out, man.
Sam.
What's up?
Hmm.
All right.
Yeah, weird.
Well, then, that'll be it. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for joining me on this episode. It's been an absolute blast. And,
Is that your Australian accent?
No, that was... I don't even know what accent I was
going
for.
Come on, give us an Aussie accent.
No,
because
I'll end up doing... I'll end up... Yeah, you've probably heard it before. I'll end up doing some, like, UK accent.
Oh, it's me, the Lone Vote
Wanderer. Yeah. Oh, yeah, when I did the accent challenge with Lone. Holy crap.
Oh, I remember that.
Talk about cringe. Anyway, let's wrap this one up. And you guys definitely gotta, if you haven't for some reason, check out Camel's and Michael's channel, or Michael Scott and Drew's channel. It's good stuff. That'll all be linked in the description down below. You guys want to pimp anything before we shut it down?
I don't think so. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I'm gonna pimp one thing. to all remaining viewers, we have the biggest video, not the biggest actually, Camel has the biggest video, but we have like a huge video coming on the first error. I think it's about 7,000 words. I don't know how long that'll be.
That's
long was your one, Camel? How many words was the 2 hour thing?
About. Actually, I can't remember. It was long.
All right. Don't worry. It was big.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Anyway, go reward these two fine gentlemen's hard-working efforts and give their channel a look. And we will catch you guys in next week's episode. Peace out.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.